Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. Thank you, Miss Shelley. Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. Matthew chapter number 5. I hear the kids getting excited downstairs, and part of me just wants to go down there. And I'll see you guys in about half hour from now and be in on the doings. But I think they're doing a next week they're going to do a, I think they're doing like a Valentine's Day thing. I think that's next Sunday, they said, but it's not outside of the framework of the service time. But they'll be doing that downstairs. I think that's what Miss D told me, is coinciding with Valentine's Day. Well, this morning we want to continue on. As one of my, when I was in Pasco, I had the blessing of being able to teach. I started teaching fourth grade Sunday school, boys Sunday school, and then I got promoted. I got bumped up. You know how it is. We need somebody over here. It's like the Alamo, you know. Yeah. Everybody's been killed over here. We need to put people there. You know, there go. And I ended up working with teenagers, but I got to teach. We had sixth grade, right? Sixth grade boys and girls, Ms. Garner and I did. And I didn't have any, you know, I never wanted to, I always wanted to study and do my own lessons and stuff. So I never had any material buys. Every year we'd go through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 with the kids. Just a little bit of time. Just go through and show them. And this is what the Lord would have to do. And these things that he taught the disciples, man, they went against some of the things they heard, went against some of the things. And Jesus wasn't rewriting the Bible. He had come and fulfilled it. The problem was God's people had taken what God had set forth and kind of humanized it and used it for their own thing, right? So you had the religious crowd, but they wouldn't bend over to help nobody. And here's Jesus helping everybody, saying this is what you're supposed to be doing. Why did he look so different from the religious group of the day? Because he was doing what they were supposed to be doing. And they were just like, get this guy out of here, right? He's different from us. He's making us look bad. But the people, they listened to him. And I love the verse it talks about. He spoke with authority, the Bible says, and not as the scribes. I love it. Because he's the Lord and he comes from God and comes from on high. We see here in verse we'll start reading verse 1. I'll have a word of prayer and we'll start reading again in verse 1. Father, thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for getting here from Brother Harvey this morning. We pray that you'd bless him as he settles in his house. Lord, I pray that you'd still him and you would help him. And pray that you would just help him to see the need for that, Father, for the time being. And Lord, I thank you for holding up Miss Heidi so strong as you have. And that's just been amazing to watch. And Lord, I do pray for the kids that haven't been able to be here. And Lord, struggling with that, being sore and hurt. And we just pray that you bless them today. Lord, we pray for Harvey, while he's going through his survival training, ask that you bless him, Lord. We do pray for Brother Randy today and all of his siblings, Father, for Missy Vaughn, these that mom has gone to be with you. We pray for the service that it would go well. And we just pray that you'd bless him now as he is landing and getting his bags and all the things he needs to do there, Lord. We thank you and thank you for your grace, Lord, to this church family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse number 1, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This morning, what we're going to try to do is get through to verse number 12, Lord willing, and show, not by that, we don't have time to bounce around to all of the different passages that talk about the names of Christ, that talk about the attributes of Christ. For example, in Revelation, he is called faithful and true. You can find the capitals for the titles. They'll be all caps in the verses, and I love it, right? The Bible talks about his vesture and what it's going to be. I love small town America. I love high school football in the fall. And I love homecoming time. I just like all the stuff that goes on, you know. And the sometimes the girls have the things that sashes. Yeah, I know they weren't called things. I knew that, but I don't want to step out there, guys. I was treading there, bro. Anyways, freshman queen or whatever. But here's the Lord has one on, right? And it says faithful and true. Well, I thought that was Jesus. Yeah, now you're starting to understand. Now you understand why we're so for the truth. And we're not going to get off of it, and we're going to stay with it, because he's not going anywhere. We're all going to go into the dirt. Every last way. He's going to stand. That's why you have to be on his side. We've got to stand on his word. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we didn't get farther than that last week. We talked about that, being poor in spirit. But see, he gives us his spirit. We are no longer poor in spirit. He said, don't come with your own. God wants to give you his. God wants to help your spirit. He wants to lift your spirits. He's a lifter. He's a binder up. He helps people. And he tells the disciples why. Because this is a message that they're going to share and give to somebody else. But man alive, isn't it easier to share a message with people, folks? If you have it yourself, like you, it's you. Like you have it. You know it's true. God has lifted you up. God has helped you. You have been low in spirit and God has blessed you. And you can take that to somebody else versus just repeating what you've seen on a poster somewhere or what you've read. And you said, God will bless you. God will help you. You got to have faith. You got to look to him and don't come off him. You got to look to him. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. Mourning's not my favorite exercise. I try to get through the mourning phase real quick. You know, get my crying done and be done. And I don't cry hard very often, but I was like, when I do, it's like I'll go somewhere by myself and just cry. And then it's like moving on. And it's weird. Sometimes the things that will set me off. And I always try to hide when, watching something, you listen to something, and as you see a picture of Christ somewhere, somebody laying down there, so somebody else kind of, it's just, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. He said, oh, you're blessed if you mourn. The Bible says, for they shall be comforted. John 14, John 16, he gives us the capital C, comforter. We sing the song. Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost of heaven, the Father's promise given. Spread the tidings around wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Some people have no comfort. I was at that funeral a while back now and just telling people, I said, you'd be comforted in God. He'll give you comfort. His word is comforting. World's not. Leaders definitely aren't. The atmosphere and the situations aren't comforting, right? They are the opposite. They are a discomfort. That's why we got to get back. You got to look back to God. Everything needs to come. It needs to be filtered through scriptures, filtered through what God says, filtered through the Bible. Don't look at it and say, well, this is going to happen. No, read this and say, this is going to happen. And Jesus just, he sums it up in so few words. Sometimes he says, perilous times shall come. I mean, it's asinine and unbelievable that we would open a border to our enemies and just say, like, hey, this is what we're doing. This is a better policy. Number one goal of those folks on the other side of the... they're a long ways away from here. But their goal should be protection of their citizens. You'd think that would be an easy thing, but no. Perilous times. Perilous times. They that mourn shall be comforted. Because we shall receive the Comforter. The poor in spirit shall receive the Spirit of God when they receive Christ. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need to trust Jesus Christ. We receive His Spirit. The Bible says, verse number 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When I was, probably 7th grade, I got a shirt from Shopko, Target. I don't know. But it was a football shirt. And it said, what did it say? The meek shall inherit the earth. Yeah, right. On it. But it was a football shirt, right? Because the idea is meekness means weakness. That's the idea. That might be what the world thinks. Meekness is having all power, but being under full control of it. It is being restrained of that. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means you just choose not to exercise full power in things. And we're not all powerful, but God is. God is. And I've used this illustration before. Adrian Rogers, he had talked about in a message that he preached, I listened to one time, a man had given him a book called All the Wild Horses, and it just talked about all the powers that horses have, how strong horses are. He said, but they're a great picture of meekness. because they can be so gentle. When a little girl goes, you know, I see Brother Rich, I see Megan next to the big horse. You know, and I'm thinking like, one step. One step. She could be a whole 2 feet shorter than she is now, right? One step. You know, those horses are just these big, huge animals. Tons of power. But they choose not to. But man, you see a horse out of control or just like snap, it's kind of, you're like, whoa, I didn't know horses could do that and kick or when horses fight and get up, wild horses, right? They get up and fight and they'll bite each other and stuff. You're like, whoa, man. There's a lot of power there, but it's restrained. It is under control. Blessed are the meek. And sometimes they be feeling it, sitting at home, like, we got to do something. Our country's a mess. We got to do something. I said, blessed are the meek. Don't worry. And I told men in Sunday school, our job was we got to keep calling good, good, and evil, evil, right? Because the confusion is slopping it around. Just like it says Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, people are going to call it this and be, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, the tool that's used a lot is renaming stuff so you don't see what it really is and you're confused, right? You say, well, it's not child infanticide. It's women's health. And you think, like, what? You know, let's just call it something else so it doesn't appear to be so bad. You know, and it's just, we've got to watch out for that. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now you read over in John, he goes through the I ams, and one of the I ams is, I am the bread of what? I'm the bread of life. He says, if you seek after me, if you hunger after me, I am the living water. If we seek after him, the Bible says, they shall be filled. I'm going to flip over and you can just stay there. So I'll flip over and read Proverbs. The Bible says, the horse leech, verse 15 of 30, hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things, say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. I remember that one of the old Taco Bell commercials, it's not so old now, but I can't remember, Brother Joe, what they made, but I'm full! Right? They ate this one product. I can't remember what it was. Who knows what it was. It just seems like some guy sits in a room and says, we'll take a hard taco and a soft taco, put cheese in between them, and that's going to go. You know, you're just like, okay, more carbs, more cheese. It's going to work. It's America. There's a chance. But anyway, these people would eat this thing and say, I'm full, you know. And so the idea was, if I go there, I'm going to get filled up. Nah, you're going to be hungry again. After a while, you're going to get hungry again. But, if you get Christ in your life, he will make you full. He'll fill that empty spot. I mean, the idea to be full insinuates that there is an emptiness that people have. And they try to fill it with all kinds of things. And Hollywood will fill it with this, and the drugs will fill it with this, and wrong relationships, and all these things. Sin and flesh, they'll try to fill it. Hole in the bottom, and it just keeps running out. Flesh just says, I'm not, and I got to try this, and that's not working anymore. I got to go to the next thing. And now your body just takes a beating. And then you end up wrung out, and you never do receive the bread of life. You never do receive that living water that Jesus spoke about when speaking of himself. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. And the period's not there. It says after righteousness. Why? Because God is about righteousness. He wants righteousness. It's not popular. It's not going to get more popular. But it's popular with God, and it's popular with God's people. It's not going to be popular with the world. But we got to tell people, this is right. God's word is right. Righteousness is right. What if they kill you for it? You stand up till your last breath is gone and stand for good and say, good is good. Oh, we're going to put you away for saying that. And I just never thought we'd see where we could just shut people up and have voices. I love these guys. I mean, there's a handful of I listen to a pile of people. But anyways, there's two black sisters. There's a Hispanic brother, and some of these other people get up there. You're not gonna shut me up. I'm like, you tell them, man. You tell them. these poor people get used over and over again. Oh, you can't. Oh, no, no. You need to. We'll take care of you. These people are some of the smartest people around. Listen to them. Listen to them. And we need to be after righteousness. These people stand for righteousness. I get excited. I don't feel, oh, man, I'm the only one. No, I'm not. There's millions of people, right? It's just we don't have the airwaves like some get the airwaves. But anyhow, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The Bible says, for they shall be filled. And there's people, watch out this week for people like this. They're looking for something. Watch for them. Help them. Tell them about Christ. Tell them that the Lord is the one that can fill that empty hole that's in the middle of them. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So blessed are the merciful. If we sow mercy. If we sow mercy. And it's hard sometimes. So the flesh creeps up in there, right? We got to watch it because we get the patriotism and the flesh creep up together a little bit. And say, I might say something I shouldn't have said. I thought it was patriotic righteousness, and that's why I said it. No, there's no mercy. I get all those feelings. I'm right there with you. I want to choke somebody and then forgive them all at the same time. You know, choke them first and then forgive them so they can't spew their hate no more. But, I get that. But merciful, right? The benefit of the doubt, merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall see, or I'm sorry, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. And Jesus is mercy. Without Jesus, we don't know what mercy is. Mercy, grace is not getting what you should get. Mercy is receiving that which we had no business receiving. Jesus Christ. We don't deserve the Lord Jesus. We don't deserve a Bible. We don't deserve a church. We don't deserve to be able to come and meet together on a Sunday with like-minded people. I was talking about in men's Sunday school how we're out in the world. We're naive at times, and I am for sure. Is we face ourselves, right? And we're not putting ourselves up. We're not putting ourselves number one. We're putting up Jesus Christ, and we don't see ourselves sticking out from those around us, but they sure do. Those people outside sure do. What's different about you? Why is it? Well, it's not about me. It's about the Lord. And we lose that. When we all come together, we don't see it because we're a group that thinks the same, like-mindedness. That's why Paul was after the churches to be like-minded. When new people come through the door, and I tell them, I say, man, you got to find that church here. Like-minded. Because you need to be in with those folks to worship the Lord. They're like-minded. It'll help you. It'll be a blessing to you. The Bible tells us here, merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity in science, in chemistry, we would do chemical combinations, we would do reactions and different things. And then we had mixtures. And mixtures is just, you're just putting two things together. I mean, if you took gravel and you took sand and put it together and you got a mixture, you didn't change the gravel and you didn't change the sand. You just put them in the same spot. You get a mixture. It's not pure. You got two things there. And the idea is this is good and evil, right? The world will teach the yin-yang thing where they got to have some of this and some of that, right? And Jesus says, I want to have you have a pure heart. All the evil's got to go if it's going to be pure. If a substance is going to be pure, that means it has to be 100% of what it is. And nothing else. Well, I want to put Jesus first, but I got to have some room for me. Not good, right? We talk about it. We got empty self of self. We got to empty it, right? Jesus isn't like coming in and cleaning our closets out. We got to do it ourselves. We got to do it and say, no, I want to put the Lord Jesus first and keep it pure. The Bible talks about this. And our heart, it's a war. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, right? Got issues. Around a lot of people got issues. At times, I say, man, got issues. I sit next to a kid on Friday night, and they got issues. But hey, bring it on, right? Sit right here. You know, I had a good time. I just say, Lord, it's such an interesting ride. Have an interesting ride. You know, you talk to people, get to meet people, and all right. I never saw it that way. I never, but anyways, the Bible talks about pure in heart. They shall see God. Oh, I'm going to heaven when I... No, I'm talking about right now. You see God work. You see God work through people. People see God work through you. Because you're merciful when you didn't have to be. You were kind to people that were unthankful. Like Luke talks about, same parallel passage here in Luke 6. Bible says that Jesus was kind to the unthankful. That's not easily done. How many of us have ever complained about unthankfulness? Not on your part, but on the part of somebody else. They're not thankful. It makes you not want to help them again, right? Praise God, Jesus never said, they're unthankful. I'm not going to help them again, right? He leaves us to say, hey, there's 10 lepers. Where's the 9, right? Aren't you thankful, right? And the one said, oh, Lord, yeah, go tell the priest, right? The other one's like, we're out of here. Never turn around and say thanks. We want to be thankful people. Pure in heart. Verse 9, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. So we have people that are poor in spirit, but they're going to receive God's spirit. They're going to receive comfort and lifting up from God. We have people that mourn. They're going to receive comfort from God. We got the meek, and they're going to be led and controlled by the one that has all the power. Yeah, go ahead and pull those down, bro. That's all right. So we get the sunshine. No worries. Yeah, you can get this one too if you want to. How many of us are thankful for the sun? Praise God. Yeah. I am too. It's been coming through my house. I'm working. I'm just like blinded, you know. I'm like, but anyways, thank you. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they which do hunger, verse 6 says, with thirst after righteousness. Promises were going to be filled. You have to chase after it. You got to go after it. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When we see that word peace, we can stay there. It makes me think of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You cannot be a peacemaker until you've received peace from the Prince of Peace. You can't be a peacemaker. Why? Because then it's going to be on your account. The rules are going to be according to your thoughts. Peace is going to be according to what you think peace should be. And God says, peace for me is forgiveness of sins. Peace for me is you recognizing where you are and recognizing who I am and getting that right. And then once you know that, then you can take peace to somebody else. If I don't have the Prince of Peace inside, the Bible says we have an advocate. And how could I help anybody if I don't have him helping me? That's like somebody said, well, I love this person. It's like, man, you know Christ. How do you know love? How do you know, what kind of love is this person going to get if they're not going to get it from God? You get a human love, right? You say, some things may look the same. It's not going to be the same. Jesus' love isn't the same as the world's love. I got to have him to do these things. I got to have him. If I'm going to be a peacemaker, I have to yield wholly to God. Peter drew a sword, right? And Jesus told him, put it up. Just put it up. It's not what we're trying to do. And I understand Peter's feelings. Sometimes I want to draw a sword and start hacking away. Not going to help. But be the peacemaker. There'll be that one that's watching you and saying, wow, what is different about this person? They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they, verse 10, which are persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. But it's just something God wants and I want to be for God. Yeah, you're going to get persecuted for it. And if you haven't been, you're going to. It's going to happen. The Bible says if we live by faith, if we live godly, we will receive this. It's going to happen. They're going to come to my house in the middle of the night. Am I going to do that? Who knows? Give me a break. Most of it will be subtle. Well, I was here on your job evaluation for the year. You know, you're kind of, and you wonder, like, oh, that's funny. Did everything I did last year, or even more. But I did a better job than I did last year. What is this? Find out you get passed over. Find out people won't talk to you. You find out it's subtle, but it's there. And you don't have to go around, receive my persecution today. Just live godly. It will find you. Just live godly. It will find you. And don't try not to be the martyr person. All right? Don't get in a martyr complex and you start doing goofy, weird stuff. Okay? Just point people to Christ and bear it. And just bear it. If people they don't like you for this, just smile. Be the peacemaker. Be merciful. Be kind. Remember the days when you were without Christ and just thankful that God gave you time and God gave you the opportunity to receive Him and be merciful and continue. peacemakers. Now, blessed are they which are persecuted, verse 10, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The idea is that you're living now like you would be living then in God's kingdom. That's why we're called pilgrims. It's like you're citizens, but it's of a country that isn't here. We're blessed to do it in America, but you should be able to do it in South Africa, or you should be able to do it in Liberia where the Reimers are. You should be able to do it in Italy where Brother Angelo is. It's like live like you're a citizen of heaven and like you're an ambassador of the Lord. I mean, you get all these people appointed positions. I want to be an ambassador here, or I want to be an ambassador here. Okay, well, in order to be an ambassador, you really got to have a good hold on what your ambassadorship is of, right? I got to understand a lot about who I'm representing because I'm their representative here. I need to know. I need to understand about being a peacemaker. I need to understand about having a pure heart. And I need to understand about being blessed, even when we're in mourning. Understanding these things, so you can go and help somebody. Not to be a know-it-all and be like, oh, I know what you're feeling. I know. I say, no, but to be that ambassador, be able to help somebody. The Bible tells us here in verse number 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you. There it is again, two verses in a row. Think it's going to happen? Yeah, most likely. Right? Persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you. Now, if the period was there, it would be all right. Because you say, am I perfect? No. Have I done things wrong? Yes. So they speak in the truth? Probably yes. But it says here, falsely. They're going to say things about you that just aren't true. This Artie was here on Wednesday night. And she said, it's in the prayer request, answer prayers in the bulletin. A dog found that was lost. You know, but if you were here and you heard the testimony, it was pretty interesting. Brother Joe, there was a dog that was lost. Dog's lost for like, I don't know, a long time, right? Didn't show up, man. People were seeing it on Facebook. It was here, and then nothing for like 8 days. And Miss Artie's praying, Lord, help us find this dog. And she gets a hold of a trapper, finds this dog in a trap line, caught in a snare, didn't kill itself. It's been out in the woods for like 8 days, like just like in this snare. And usually people, when you get in a snare, they sit in a thrash and it ties that thing down. You're choked out and you're dead. I mean, when you're trying to trap fur, you don't want a bunch of holes in it, right? Because you've got to sell it. You've got to take it to the rendezvous and sell it, right? So you don't want to shoot them and stuff. So usually a trapper goes up and they just have a chokehold and they just group and they put them to sleep and, you know, Nighty night, and that's how they do it. Usually animals panic and then, right? And you're done. That was the answer to prayer. It was awesome. But the idea is it's a snare, okay? What's the snare here? They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. What's the trap? That you would defend yourself. You defend yourself. So Jesus is in Pilate's hall. On and on and on and on they go. And he wore them down by his discourse. He wore them down through his rebuttal. He didn't say a word. He drove them crazy, right? You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to. Shut them down. I mean, when you go in that, you're walking right in. Listen to them defend themselves. Why a male athlete in high school should be able to dominate female sports and how it's okay. I'm for women's rights, but I'm just to waste these young ladies' dreams. Mrs. Garner's a state champion and high school record holder. I not anymore, but was for a long time. It's awesome. I love girls' sports. I like some sports. Some are a little slow. I'll admit, right? We're a Christian school, and we had volleyball, everybody'd leave, and I was like, oh. I said, girls, you just got to play like savages, you know, I play nice sometimes. I said, you're too nice, you need to be, there's people have packed this place out, have blood in your eyes, they're just staring at you, blood in your eyes, no, forget it. Well, the guys too, it was my lifelong goal, but anyways, gave that up, came up here. I'm for women, I'm for supporting women, no, that's a race I'm here. Because this person over here feels like craziness. Absolutely craziness. Now defend that. What do we got to do? We got to keep saying good is good. Evil is evil. And we got to put them in the book. This is our ground to stand on for a male and a female. This is all there is. They want to play all sides. All sides. Oh, we're evolutionary species. We've got to procreate so we can get through the next round of mutations. But if we're two males, then we can't procreate. But forget about that part. It doesn't work in our story. They just keep going. Science is repeatable, observable, over and over again. I tried to get papers published, and I did my master's thesis, and they said, you got to repeat it again. And I did. That's enough of that. I don't want to waste time doing this. You said, I got it to work. You got to do it again. You don't publish stuff based on, just random chance. Make it happen again and again. It's wrong. Absolutely wrong. Sir, I promise you, I feel for the young man. There's some serious confusion going on there. There is. I'm sure that somebody like that would be getting death threats and hate and just, I feel bad for somebody like that. That's not, he shouldn't be in that situation, but God help the adult that told him, we need to stand up for you. Oh, and the school board? I mean, that stuff doesn't just happen, people. He doesn't put on a singlet, walk on the track, slap his number on, be like, I'm doing this thing. No, it is. We're going to make this young person an example. We're going to have a shot for individualism or whatever they're trying. I mean, just that. It's a mess. You got to keep continuing to say, no, it's wrong. It's evil. Bible says male and female. No it's. No them's. No what is it's. It's frustrating. I get frustrated. I don't sit and quiet my children when they say, Dad, that guy looks like a girl. Or, Dad, that girl looks like... I'm just like, I didn't tell them to say that. They're looking with their eyeballs and God's put it in their little bodies to kind of know. And yes, I've been mistaken and I try not to embarrass myself. But there's some times where we're... I mean, even as coaches, we look at somebody and say, bro, is that a guy or a girl? I don't know. We're both grown men with wives and children. We don't know. It's confusing. Absolutely confusing. I don't know what to say. Awkward. Can't talk. Don't want to offend. Don't want. And that's the thing. I don't want to offend people. I don't want to offend people. But there are people that are confused. There are people that do not, that never receive Christ for one, and then they don't know. They don't know that it's supposed to enjoy their life in Jesus, that God's made them special. God's made them a certain way. God made them for a plan. God didn't make them to just do whatever they want to do and live life and then it's over. That's not the plan. But we're going to be persecuted, the Bible says, and people are going to say things falsely against you. But look at verse number 11. And this is why you don't want to step into the trap of defending yourself. Okay? Look at the last three words. Verse 11. For my sake. They did it because of me. Oh, I'm a martyr. It's all about me. It's all about the stuff that I'm going through. It's all about them picking on me. No, it's for Jesus Christ. You point Christ to them and they just turn. You're like, oof. Right? That's the thing. And the devil and Jesus, that's the thing. Right? And it's anti-Christ. And we hear anti-American. We hear anti-Christ. Antichrist. Now, for us, we think, well, if it's Antichrist, it should be anti-American too. Yes, I understand this, right? But as you understand, most country doesn't think like that. There are a lot of people that do. There are a lot of people that don't, right? And so you're saying, this is Antichrist, and this is why. And in America, we have the freedom to believe it or not believe it. We have the freedom to do these things. Man are against you falsely. Verse 12, we're done. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. We just came through two verses that talk about being persecuted, and Jesus is telling these guys, right? Peter still stinks of tilapia and whatever else he was catching, right? I mean, he still stinks of fish, and he's saying, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets, which were before you. You mean they're not on YouTube? No. No YouTube prophets. None. No Latter-day Saints prophet sitting in Utah right now that we got to go kiss the ring and figure out what's going on, what's going to happen. The prophet. He said, they came before you. Look what happened to them. It was a mess. Jeremiah got put in a dungeon. They say Isaiah got put between two boards and got cut in half. People pulled in half by horses. All kinds of stuff. Prophets. Why? They stood for righteousness' sake. They stood for righteousness. So you're going to get persecuted for my sake. People will trample on Jesus over and over. Remember this. When you efface yourself and you're made in the likeness of His Son and they trample you down, it is for God's sake. Don't defend yourself. Does it make sense? I say, don't defend yourself. You don't have to defend God. You just have to continue to say, good is good. Evil is evil. We're after righteousness, even today in America. That's hard to find. Let it be in your little circle. Let it be there and try to just share it with others. Be merciful. Smile. Be kind. Right? Somebody's broke. I mean, it was a tough week, right? Wednesday night, we get home, charged up, and by Thursday at 1 o'clock, got one going in the hospital with a heart attack, and Brother Randy's getting ready to go to Georgia for his... I mean, it's tough. It's hard. What do you do? Chase after righteousness. Let's stand this morning. We need Jesus. People around us do. Well, they're going to lie about me. Yeah. They lied about the Savior. He was quiet in Pilate's hall. He told the disciples he'd give them the words to say. Did you let people lie about you this week? Just let her go. Just let her go. Be merciful. 261, turn your eyes upon Jesus. The altar's open. If you're here today, you're without Jesus. I don't know of any young people that got saved Friday night, but if you're without Christ, we need Jesus so we can show peace. 261.